Hey, good evening. Good to see everyone. It's so good to see so many familiar faces, some new faces. We're so glad that you've come to join us for this special service today. For my kids, they tell me that this is one of their favorite services. They love the candlelight portion that we're going to do right after the sermon. They also tell me that they love it because this is my shortest sermon of the year, so... So I told them I'm not going to break that tradition. It's going to be really short today. But it is good to be together as a church. I think as we were doing the passing of the peace, I felt like we could do that for like 45 minutes. And so it's really great to be together. It's really great to sense like the fellowship and the friendship and the connection, the communion that we have as the family of God. And so we're talking about Luke chapter 2 today. And I was thinking about the Christmas season. And, you know, the Christmas season is unique and it's different than other holidays. I think it's special in a lot of ways because, you know, our thoughts turn to peace. We think about, like, peace between nations. It would be great if nations got along better. It would be great if people got along better, if races got along better, if, you know, if rich and poor people got along better. And in some way, you know, in our minds we think, if this could ever happen, I mean, life would seem so... complete, right? So right. Instead, we feel frustrated. We feel frustrated because the world isn't like that, but we know it's supposed to be. You know, we know that things aren't right, and we know that things aren't the way that they should be, the way God wants them to, and we long for them to be better. We want God to make those things right. In Luke chapter 2, we meet a Jewish man named Simeon, and he longed for that too. He had the same thing. He longed for things to be better. He longed for God to come and to make things right. And like most Israelites of the time, what that meant to him was that meant God sending his Messiah, the one that God had promised who would make things right. And in the account that we have before us, on one faithful day, you know, for Simeon in the temple, he actually meets the Messiah face to face. And what we have here in Luke chapter 2 is we have this response. We have Simeon's reaction. We have his response to actually seeing the child, this child who is going to change the world. So today we're going to look at his response, and we're going to see two things. First, we want to look at its message, right, what the message is of this response. And second, the meaning, what he means by this response, what we can glean out of the way he responds to this child. So first, we want to look at the message, right? The message of his response. If you go back into verse 25, in verse 25 it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came into the Spirit... into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" All right, so we start this account, and we have Simeon. Like I mentioned, he's a Jewish man, faithful man, and he is waiting for the coming of God's promised one. He's waiting for the Messiah. And in a lot of ways, he's like every other Israelite, but he's also unique. God has made him a promise. God has made him a promise that he will not die until he actually sees the Messiah. And so, you know, here he is waiting and longing, and this whole idea of waiting for the Messiah is a really important one. You know, the way that the Jewish people understood the Messiah is the Messiah was going to be this person who came into the world, and because of his presence, because of his power, he would gather the people of Israel, he would defeat the enemies of Israel, and he would inaugurate an era of peace for Israel. And at this time, I mean, the Jewish people were scattered, the land was occupied, and they were people who were living in turmoil. But in the account that we have, the day finally came. Simeon is in the temple, and the day finally arrives. Right? He sees Jesus from afar, And the Holy Spirit prompts him to recognize that that's the Messiah. So Simeon rushes over, and essentially in verses 29 through 32, we hear this. It's a song, it's a prayer, it's this wonderful response. He says, again, verse 29, he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory for your people. If you look at the heart of his response, the heart of his response is about salvation. He's praying, and in gratitude, he's thanking God that salvation has arrived. Now, what's really interesting is if you look at Simeon's response, in the way that he describes salvation is he describes Jesus as salvation. Right? He doesn't say, here is Jesus, and Jesus will teach us salvation. Jesus will bring us salvation. He essentially says in verse 30, he says, Jesus will be our salvation. In verse 30, he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon looked at this child, and he knew somehow, in some unique way, this child wouldn't come and teach or show. Somehow he would be salvation for the people of Israel. And you know, in that way, Christianity is incredibly unique. It's unlike any other religion. In other religions, the founders of those religions, they come and they teach about salvation. They teach what the rules are. They teach the way that you do it. They bring a message. And the message is, believe these things or do these things or obey these things. In all the other religions, the teachers and the founders never come and say, I am salvation. They always come and say, believe this, do this, obey this, follow this, live like this. In contrast, Christianity says that salvation is found in a person, in Jesus Christ. Right? That it's not in rules, it's not in principles, it's not in obeying certain things. Christianity says that salvation is found in the person of Jesus Christ. It's found in having a personal relationship with God, right? Trusting him. And that's very different. Unlike any other religion, Christianity rests on this idea that salvation is to know him. In other words, Jesus is the message. He doesn't bring a message. He doesn't show you what salvation is. How to get it, he is it. And we see that in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, the Apostle John records Jesus' words when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? He doesn't say, I know the way. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And you know, here's what it means. For some of you here today, you're here because you're feeling more religious, right? Christmas is a time to feel religious. There's lots of decorations, a lot of signs, there's crosses, and there's symbolism, and it's a time where a lot of people feel more religious. Typically during Christmas, people are thinking a lot more about God, a lot more about Jesus. And if that's your case, we're glad you're here. We welcome you, and we're glad that you're here with us. But this is a time where people feel like they want a little bit more church. They feel like they should be a little bit better. They want to do charity. They want to think about God a little bit more. But today, I want you to know and to realize that Christianity is different. That the message of Christianity isn't go to church more and then you'll be okay. Do some good things and then you'll be okay. Give your stuff away and then God will love you more. And it's none of those things. Christianity at the very heart of it is that Jesus is your salvation. Right? That to take Jesus into your heart, that's the thing that will change your life. So that's the message. That's the message of Simeon's response. Simeon looks and he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Second thing I wanted to look at is the meaning. Again, if you go back to verses 29 through 32, Simeon picks up the child, and essentially this is his response. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This is actually a really famous prayer. It's a really famous song. The church has recognized this since the very beginning, and it has actually a term. It's so famous that it has its own term. It has its own title. The title of this prayer is Nunc Dimittis, which is Latin. Other people, another title for it is the Song of Simeon. But basically, it's this response or this prayer that he prays as he's holding the infant Jesus, as he's gazing at his Messiah. And in Latin, the phrase Nunc Dimittis is essentially the first line of verse 29, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace. And technically what it means is Nunc Dimittis means now you let me depart. And so, you know, the title is something like this, Now I Can Depart in Peace. And, you know, when you think about that, that's a beautiful sentiment, right? Here is Simeon, and for Simeon, life up until this point has been full of unrest, right? He lived in and he saw a world around him full of discord, full of suffering, full of strife, full of injustice. Now, for Simeon, he looked at the world and nothing was right. Right? He longed, he hoped that one day things would be made right. He longed for the day where he could know that things were changing, that things were going to get better. And so here in the account, Simeon finally gazes upon the infant Jesus, and immediately in his heart, he knows that it's enough. Right? He knows that who he's gazing on is he's gazing on the Messiah, the one who will change the world. And for Simeon, he didn't have to see it all happen. He didn't have to watch all of it take place. He looked at the baby, and he knew in the deepest part of his heart that this baby was going to make things right. And he looked at the baby, and the baby dispelled his worries, his fears, his anxieties. And in that moment, Simeon felt a fullness, a completeness, and a joy that he had never felt before. And that's why he said, Lord, now I can depart in peace. Right now, my soul is satisfied. Right? It's a beautiful sentiment. Right? He was finally able to let everything go. And in that moment, he said to the Lord, Nunc Dimittis, now I can go in peace. You know, that's what we're all looking for. Every single one of us, we look around and we see a world that's full of hatred and strife and evil. We see all around in the world around us, we see people bickering and fighting and killing. We see injustice. We see victimization. We see terrible things. And our souls are always, we're not able to rest. We feel conflicted. We feel like everything is wrong. And for every single one of us, we're looking for something that will make things right. We're looking for something that will calm the storm. You know, we're looking for that real, that true thing that will tell us that everything's okay, but we can't find it. You know, in 1957, there was a jazz musician named John Coltrane who said that in 1957 he had a spiritual awakening. Through a long battle with addiction, he had this profound experience of God's grace, and it changed his life. This is what he says. He says, by the grace of God, said he experienced by the grace of God a spiritual awakening, which was to lead me to a richer, fuller, more productive life. At that time, in gratitude, I humbly asked to be given the means and the privilege to make others happy through music. So consequently, in 1964, he recorded an album called A Love Supreme, which many say is one of the greatest jazz albums ever recorded. A Love Supreme was essentially a four movement tone poem. Essentially, it was a modern jazz psalm. It was a prayer and a praise to God, expressing his gratitude. one night after the album, he was playing in a club in D.C., and he and his band were playing the music off of Love Supreme. And apparently, this was the only time they ever played it live. But in this club, as they were playing, he launched into this extended, improvised solo that was inspired. One writer said that essentially that night in that club, he saw a true genius struck by artistic lightning. And many people say that it's the most amazing performance they'd ever seen. As John Coltrane was showered with applause, he walked off the stage, and people recorded that quietly he said to himself, "Nunc dimittis," and now I can go in peace. Right, for him, it was this perfect expression of praise that brought full joy to his listeners. And in that moment, he realized that his life was full, that his heart was full, and that he could go. You know, what he and Simeon both experienced is what we long for, right? We long for this sense of completion, the sense of fullness, the sense of joy. And you know what? From Simeon's experience, from Simeon's experience that we have in Scripture, it tells us how we can get it. And from Simeon's experience, it tells us that the only way this can happen is to take Jesus into our hearts, to take Jesus into our lives. Right? Just as Jesus dispelled the storms, right? Only he can dispel the fears, the worries, the doubts, and the anxieties that we have in our hearts. Right? Only when he comes into your life can you finally say, "Nunc dimittis." Now I can go in peace. And you know, as we close, that's really what I wanted to ask is, what are you worried about? Right? What fears are resting in your heart? What anxieties, what unrest, what are you chasing? And what Luke 2 reminds us of is Jesus can be your answer. And Jesus is the only answer, the only one who will bring peace. He is the only way you will find a sense of fullness, of realness, of completeness. And in him, you will finally feel whole. You know, that's the light that we need shining in our hearts. You know, we started service and we talked about how Jesus is the light of life. And that's what we mean, that there is something missing in us. We sense the darkness in us. And when Jesus appears, we realize that we need that light inside of us, that light to fill us and to change us. And so what we're going to do in a minute, we've done this each year when we've gotten together to do our Christmas Eve service, is in a minute we're going to get up and I'm going to ask you if you can take out your candles. Does everyone have their candles? Good. I'm going to ask you in a minute if you can go to the edges and we can create a big circle. We'll turn off the lights. And for the elders and I, we're going to go up to the front altar. We're going to take the light that's on the altar from the light of Christ, and we're going to begin to pass it out. When you receive the light, find someone else to pass that light to. And eventually, that light will fill not just the room, but hopefully our hearts too. And once all the candles have been lit, then we're going to sing Silent Night together. So why don't we get up together, if you can find a spot on the edges. In a minute, we're going to close together in a word of prayer and have the benediction. After the benediction, I want to encourage you to take a moment in reflection during the postlude, and then hopefully we'll have a lot of good fellowship after that. Before we get to the prayer, though, you know, we do this each year, and so this isn't unfamiliar for a lot of us, but I do want you to realize that there is a truth behind the image. Just as we are holding these candles, just as the light is shining and revealing our faces and lighting up the room, for many of us, the light of Christ has come to shine in our hearts. That through that, God has revealed our sin, our wickedness, but it has also brought us alive in Christ. And just as we were passing these lights to each other, that's the way our lives affect each other. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts and moves as we move, and other people feel that, other people receive that, other people are blessed by it. And that is one of the great blessings of being a part of a church together. But it's also the challenge of going out into the world and letting our light shine. But as we're here looking at each other, as we're here seeing the way the light shines everywhere, let's remember that there is a spiritual reality behind the image. That Christ is the light that needs to shine in our hearts and in the world around us. And when he does, each and every one of us can finally say, now I can depart in peace. Now everything is right. Let's pray together. And Father, we want to thank you that in Jesus we do have this true and this real answer. Our hearts are restless because we do see so many things that are wrong with the world. We do see the strife, the anguish, the conflict, and the anger. But Lord, we also know that you are the only one who calms those fears, who calms those worries. And even though it hasn't happened yet, we know that you are the only one who will finally one day make all things right. May that truth be the balm to our souls. May that truth, Lord, heal us and fill us with hope and with joy, but knowing that one day, Lord, everything will finally be right. And we thank you that we have that hope. And just as Simeon embraced the child, may we embrace your light tonight and share that with one another and share it with the world around us. Now may the grace of God, the wonderful love of the Father, and the joy of the Spirit be with each of you both now and forever. Amen.